Good morning. Welcome to worship as we continue on our Easter season. A special welcome to all of you joining us from home. We are blessed to be one body of Christ together. Now let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our opening hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears to hear the Word of God.
The first lesson is from the book of Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us, and she was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Revelation chapter 21. And in the spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into the glory and to the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no lamp of light or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning's gospel text begins with Jesus answering a question we do not hear. With your indulgence, I'll begin the reading with the question. The gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still here with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace this beautiful Easter day. Thank you for allowing me to read the question to you. It feels so odd to me to start with answering a question we didn't hear. But the question matters. The question on the heart of Judas, not Iscariot. Judas wants to know how Jesus will reveal himself to those who follow him, but not to the world, As Jesus had just finished saying before our text today, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." And now, to Judas' question about how this will be possible, Jesus replies, "Those who loved me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make a home with them." We will come to them and we will make a home with them. A home. This idea is the foundation on which Jesus builds when he continues to say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." There is so much in this world, brothers and sisters, it hardly needs to be said, that troubles our hearts and makes them afraid. Ironically, though these woes and troubles and fears come from the world, we so often turn back to the world to seek our relief and our comfort and our peace. But over the course of this, what is called the farewell discourse in John, Jesus is quite repetitive in certain ways. He says, "Do not love as the world loves. Love as I have loved you. I do not give peace as the world gives. Rather, my peace I give to you. Abide in me in the true vine, so that your joy may be complete." Ostensibly, not joy as the world otherwise can give. The world gives conditionally and from without. We experience love in the world, but often feel we must meet certain conditions for it to be assured. Joy, the world will promise us if we have the right gadgets, gizmos, the latest car. Peace, where we are willing to abandon any conflict or dissent. And yet none of these things relieve the trouble and the fear in our hearts. The peace that the world offers us cannot reliably transform anything about us. It is incomplete and unstable. It is a veneer. We do tend to call the absence of overt conflict peace, but perhaps it would be better simply to call that an absence of overt conflict. If we cannot eliminate war, which we cannot, big or small, outside or within ourselves, then peace becomes our option to ignore the realities of hardship, suffering, and war. This is where what Jesus brings us today in the gospel becomes so crucial for our contemplation as community. How will Jesus reveal himself to us? By making a home with you, a home within you. And why is this nature of revelation crucial? Because again, even without our laundry list of woes and troubles and fears outside of ourselves, when we look into our hearts, war is already present. We look inside ourselves to see our own conflicted thinking and perceptions, our tumultuous and difficult feelings. To seek peace as absence of conflict means not only to disengage from the suffering of the world, but from our own selves, our own hearts, the hurting places within and without. Yet what if within you is where Jesus has made his home? What if the path to peace, to joy, to love, to hope is no distance at all, but only a question of how God opens your heart to the way of the word of Jesus, how these open us to the presence of these things available in us at all times and without condition. Peace as Jesus only can give. I was watching a lovely documentary this past week in which Thich Nhat Hanh and Brother David Steindl Rast were discussing gratitude and peace. And they reflected on Thich Nhat Hanh's presence at the protests for the Vietnam War, in which he recalled, "We were in the midst of crowds of people demanding peace. We were not there to demand peace, but to be peace. We were being peace, and that is what the people saw." Jesus promises us as Christians that when we love him and keep his word, his transformative peace is already given in our hearts. The gift of being peace that allows us to be part of creating peace in the world. "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid" is not a command or an admonition, but an invitation, a reminder to come home to yourself to find Jesus waiting there for you. "Do not wait for the world to give you peace, siblings in Christ. Peace will not come to us through the world, but it will come up from within us in the abiding presence of Christ in our body, and in our body. This is the body of Christ in community gathered today. And this has been considerable for me to meditate on in these recent days, in the midst of troubling and fearful times, that when we love God and keep Christ's word, this peace is in our hearts. Death and rebirth are the backbone of Christian life. To seek peace as an absence of suffering or war or death will make it elusive to us until we die. Peace arises for us in the promise of God's resurrection in Christ, which we hold in the midst of suffering and death. The promise of healing is in the midst of suffering. Be peace now. Come home to yourself and find Jesus. Finally, in our text, Jesus tells the disciples that he must leave them so God can send the Holy Spirit. As Jesus makes a home within us, transformation is the Spirit's domain in our lives. We know the Spirit's presence over the waters of the Tehom, the deep waters of the creation of Genesis. We know the Spirit's work in the body of Mary in the conception of the baby Jesus. We know the Spirit will come to the apostles in Pentecost like fire. The advocate assists us in coming home to ourselves when we are lost, when we are in the midst of something we do not understand, that is not clear, that may be dark, that may be frightening, trouble us, cause us fear. That Spirit is the same who hovered over the waters to remind us that what God can do is beyond our imagining. In that which we fear, God sees potential for creation. The divine breath that drew out order from chaos can also be our own breath as we seek order in the midst of our own inner chaos, our own deeps that can cause such fear. And when the peace of Jesus fills us, we can become peace. And when the Spirit calls us to be more alive than anything in the world offers us chance to become alive, we create peace. Our troubled hearts expand and grow strong. Our fear is transformed and made passionate for the way along which Christ leads us. And I will end with this morning. I saw a cute little cartoon with two dinosaurs in which one says to the other, "You're such a pessimist about things being so bad. They're not that bad." And the other replies, "I'm not pessimistic about how bad things are. I'm optimistic about how good things could be." Following Jesus, we seek to bear honest witness to the hardness and suffering of the world with clear eyes and courageous hearts. It is neither easy nor pleasant, but we do not despair, we do not delude ourselves, and we do not deny the hard truths. We do not seek the peace that the world can give. But through Jesus' peace, we become and create peace for the world. Siblings, we are called to engage the hurting places in our human and beyond human communities, to love and to serve, to seek justice and an end to war. If we love him and keep his word, Jesus promises us the strength and courage we need. We draw upon the well of deep peace. We love one another as he has loved us. And we abide in the true vine forever, which makes our joy complete. And we do this because we have hope. Our eyes have seen the salvation that God has prepared in the sights of all people. Our eyes see Jesus in the face of every neighbor, and our hands reach out. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. God of new life, open your church to the unexpected ways your Spirit is at work. Guide both rostered and lay leaders at every level in their visioning, partnership, and planning. Surround us all with your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give a vision of increase and abundant harvest for farmers, laborers, and gardeners who are beginning their growing season. Join their efforts with the goodness of creation to feed all living things. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Shine your light of wisdom and peace among nations. When the powerful seek to assert dominance over the weak, bring your compassion and mercy that all can see the humanity in one another. When desperation and conflict lead to war, bring hope, harmony, and peace. We pray especially for all those affected by war, especially in the Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Uphold the work of ministries and organizations in our communities who assist people experiencing homelessness and all marginalized people at every level. Accomplish your will through their efforts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give safe haven to those who seek healing, liberation, or peace. Create places filled with hospitality where hurting people find your loving presence and wholeness. Provide healing and comfort to all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. We pray especially today for Joshua Chamness, Terry Chapp, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Caroline Evans, Claudia Hardwick, Joy Lathrop, Doug Martin, Dave Prescott, Katie Rothstein, and Marilyn Tollefson. For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our heart, and for those known only to you, we pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Assemble your people at rivers, streams, and fonts, where we remember our baptism and welcome others into the communion of saints. Gather us with those who have died when we meet together at your river of life, and comfort all of us who now grieve their loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. Just turn to one another and show each other a gesture of peace. Our worship continues as we receive the morning's offerings.
Let us pray. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe and trust in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one in the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. Please be seated. As you come forward today down the center aisle and return by the side aisles, we invite you to receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. There are also gluten-free wafers available. Should you need that, just indicate so to the server. And now we invite you to come as the Spirit moves you and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Please stand as you're able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for in this bread and cup we have tasted the new heaven and earth where hunger and thirst are no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives all may know life in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated again. I've got a few announcements for us today, and one of them is a bit odd. I have the word bark written down. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to bark or no. I know what it is. Kim Myers texted me this morning saying she got a big load of bark, and if somebody has a truck and is willing to go pick up some at her house and bring it to the church, we can use it around Krista's house and the grounds, and particularly the garden on the corner of University and 18th. So if anybody has a truck and could go pick up bark, if you would talk to me after, I can make sure that you have information about how to get a hold of Kim. So that was the first announcement. The second one is this Wednesday at 7 p.m., the Gustavus Adolphus College, one of our church colleges, their choir is doing a Western States tour, and they will be here in Eugene. They will be singing at First United Methodist Church, and all are invited to attend that. We have some Gustavus graduates in our congregation, and so encourage you to join them in celebrating their alma mater. And finally, a word of announcement again about our semi-annual meeting on June 5th, two Sundays from today. The first item of business will be to issue a call to Benjamin J. Nicodemus to serve as associate pastor here at Central. Once that vote is taken, a secondary piece of business will be to reaffirm the compensation package, which we already included in our annual budget. So in anticipation of this, that is a secondary item. There are a few other agenda items that will follow that, including the election of council members who will serve on council for the coming 3 years, and also the nominating committee for next year. In addition to that, there will be some updates on our financial situation. You'll be receiving a letter in the mail this week that addresses those issues. It's not that we are in dire straits, but we are currently behind in our giving, and it doesn't match what our expenses are, so I want to be clear about that. That letter will be coming to you in the mail this week, along with a giving statement for those of you who have supported the church financially in the first quarter of this year. You will be given a current giving statement. Just a word about that. The financial manager of the church is the only one who sees those. And so those will be attached to this letter, but be assured that information is kept confidential. And she is the only one who has access to that information. Now, having said all those things, I encourage you to stand again for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. peace and share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.